All righty, in his usual spot here, final Wednesday of the month, he is the Sheriff of Suffolk County. You know him well, Errol Tulon Jr. And nice enough to give us a couple of minutes, sir. Hope everything is well. Everything okay, Sheriff?
Everything's great, Jay. Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Great having you, especially a couple of days after the horrific scene down in Nashville, Tennessee. Sheriff, I was thinking about you coming on today and talking about the schools. And, you know, we had big discussions yesterday about the schools and safety and what we got to do as far as a better job in and around around this country, locally, and everything else. Give me your thoughts. I'm sure it was at the forefront of you and other as far as enforcement is concerned. A very tough day and a lot of time to kind of contemplate here.
You know, first of all, our prayers go to the Nashville community where they've had some tragic loss, and really have to commend the police officers in Nashville for a stellar job, professionalism, and also a very heroic, in a very tense and stressful situation. You know, I think in Suffolk County, we've moved forward from 2018 when I first started until now, because I travel and I'm in one to two schools per week talking to students about various issues that they're confronted with. And I can tell you, Jay, one of the things, you know, in 2018 it was bullying, vaping, opioids, and gangs, and now I'm hearing mental health and depression amongst a lot of children. And one of the things that we're trying to do, we have a program with the Sandy Hook Promise Foundation, where we've taught over 35,000 students and faculty in two programs to start with hello and to say something. You know, after many events, we hear that there was some sort of social media profile with the person of interest or the person saying that they were going to do something, some sort of self-harm or harm to others. And others are seeing these files. And so with the Say Something program, it allows students to be able to freely speak to a trusted adult in that school district, identified by that school district, to say something if they hear a classmate wants to do some self-harm or do some harm to others. And they're the first ones. You know, law enforcement responds. We then investigate. We mitigate the issue. Then we investigate the issue. But there are many people that know about these potential threats before they occur, and we encourage them to report them. Now, I know it's going to be a huge burden on law enforcement because we're going to get many different types of accounts and different types of incidents. But, you know, if you report those credible threats or what you feel to be a credible threat, we can investigate it and potentially mitigate it before it occurs.
Well, no question. I mean, this is all good stuff, without question. And, you know, you bring up a really good point because I think we need more counselors in the schools. And with that has to come increased numbers in the budget, you know. I think that is absolutely essential. And the other thing is about accountability. I think parents, you know, have to be more aware, have to do a better job. Sometimes it's not easy, bringing a child and information to where it has to be in order to flag an individual who is having problems as far as mental capacity is concerned. So, you know, there's a lot of information here, but I think first and foremost is see something, say something. A guardian, a parent of somebody who's having trouble, as this individual did in Nashville, as far as anxiety and everything else, you know, it has to be brought to the attention of others. I think that is absolutely essential in all of this, sir.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more, especially when you mentioned more counselors. You know, these young men and women that are now juniors and seniors in high school were in the throes of the pandemic and missing out on social cues that could have occurred, their socialization with their classmates or any athletic teams or clubs they may have participated in, the fear of what all of us were going through during that, especially the initial days or months of the pandemic. And you can see a huge difference. And when I talk to faculty members in various high schools and middle schools, this is one of the first things that they're talking about is the lack of socialization amongst these kids. And you have to remember too that they are very much they're used to their mobile devices to communicate also. So mobile devices, and now, you know, dealing with the pandemic and now they're returning back to school, and with the stress of doing well, passing tests, and maybe moving on to a college or some technical school, It's extremely challenging for the faculty that are teaching these young students.
Especially listening to the sheriff of Suffolk County, Earl Toulon Jr. You know, Sheriff, there was an incident on Monday, Lindenhurst Middle School, where you had two students and a 13 and a 12-year-old, hard to believe, on the attack, all with the use of a knife. Very troubling in that regard. An incident as well in Uniondale with a box cutter, a confrontation there of some kids, 17 and 18, I think, involved there. You know, getting to the crux of it all, especially in Lindenhurst, where we learned that there has been chronic bullying going on there. And from a cyber sense, very tough to control in the social media aspect. But this is troubling to me because if the parents are hearing about this, well, that's when school officials kind of have to take the reins somewhat here. And I think that's a very important message, which facilitates a lot of this stuff going on right now in and around these schools. Very, very troubling as far as some of the, you know, the internal information that goes on that one might not be aware of.
One of the things that, and you're in, I'm in agreement with you, is the fact that, you know, parents are very reluctant to, if they suspect something's going on with their child, you know, go through their bag, check their social media profile, limit their social media profile. You know, unfortunately, we have to be, we meaning parents, have to be much more proactive in what's going on in our children's lives and not say that, you know, it's not going to be my child. It's, my child would never do something like that. You know, we all want to believe that we're raising good children and good people who are going to be good people. But, you know, we have to take a proactive stance. I mean, my two boys are 36 and 34, and when they were in high school, I did not hesitate going through their bag, telling them to empty out their pockets if I suspected anything. And, you know, even to the point, you know, back then, even putting a device in the car to make sure I can hear what the heck was going on when they were driving, when they first started driving. And I know that may seem a little bit, I guess maybe because I'm in the law enforcement community, a little bit extreme, but we have to be proactive if we want our children to be successful, because we do not know who our children are associating with outside of our vision or outside of our homes. We don't know any bad influences. It could be 10 good friends, and that 11th kid is the person that's going to be a big problem that could have a negative influence on our child and introduce him or her to something that we don't want them to have. So I think parents have to be extremely proactive. If their peers hear something in the schools, if the teachers, of course, they would actually notify the school, I guess, school administrators if they were to see anything. But we all have to look out for each other, and it's something that's not occurring right now.
No question. The sheriff with us, Earl Toulon Jr. Now, I'm a big proponent of security. I know some schools around the island, Uniondale, they have metal detectors. Some have armed security. Smithtown announced plans to hire armed guards to be stationed outside of schools, joining Montauk, Tuckahoe, West Babylon, Sheriff, using armed security. I know there have been other districts, Kennequit, Massapequa, Hoppog, Miller Place, they've either hired or explored hiring armed security. Most of the schools have only a single entrance way. I'm a big believer in this, and especially with what happened in Nashville on Monday, where this individual apparently went to another school, had other plans to do more damage, and kind of turned around when she saw that there was ample security. That's when she turned to this other school, this Covenant school down there. But in essence, I am a believer in that. Do you think that this will kind of be the norm as we kind of fast forward and everything else 5 years from now?
You know, we've seen an increase in school districts on Long Island hiring armed security. One of the things, you know, I was a firearms instructor at the New York City Police Range for almost 3 years when I was with the Department of Correction. And when law enforcement personnel retire from the job, they tend not to qualify as much. And so I think when any school district that's looking to hire armed security, to make sure that they put some mandates that there's some actual training, versus tactical training, because you know, shooting at a paper target is one thing, but when you have to move and engage with an individual that may be shooting back at you, is something that I'm not sure how many security companies are truly prepared for. So I would really recommend for any school district that's looking to hire any security company for armed security to really look into their training, their personnel, who they're hiring, and who's going to be in these schools protecting the children.
The basic stuff, keep all the doors locked. I mean, that is first and foremost. Although this individual knocked out the glass with bullets, which I am a believer, by the way, in putting in bulletproof glass. Listen, whatever it takes. I mean, all the stuff we're talking about is about money. I understand that. And that's why there are budgets, and that's why you have increases in budgets. And that's why I think the state has to kind of implement that type of thinking, you know, going forward here. I think it's very important. The other aspect is the training. I mean, you talk about a template for how to go about your business with offices Mike Colazzo and Rex Engelbert down there in Tennessee, Nashville. I mean, that was, you can get a better feel for this than me. But it seemed to be, with all the video that we saw in the last couple of days, I mean, just textbook type of stuff. And we have seen disasters. We saw that in Uvalde, Texas. We saw that in Parkland from 5 years ago. And my goodness, two guys who took charge all within a two-minute range. And I'm telling you, they probably, Sheriff, saved so many lives on Monday by doing what they did. Talk about that for a second.
You know, the calmness in their approach, the visualization, and the way they went about their business is something that can be commended, and we're actually going to look to use that as a training video. You know, my experience at the New York City Police Range and also going through NYPD's Emergency Service School, it's a six-month school in New York City, really, it was so textbook and so perfect. And, you know, it gave me chills because so many times, as you mentioned earlier, we see the bad things that occur when we have to engage and utilize our firearms. But this was so perfect, and no one else got hurt. No law enforcement got hurt. The perpetrator was apprehended and, of course, killed. But it just goes to show you that the level of dedication, and I would be very interested in their level of training with their prior military, you know, just from a leadership perspective to see, you know, why were they so calm? Because they look like they're young men, and so they interested in their years of service and what units that they work in, because, like I said, from a leadership perspective, you want to see what you can bring to your organization to make your men and women better, God forbid, if they have to engage in this type of incident.
Heroes beyond belief, and I'll tell you one other aspect of this, Sheriff, for all those who want to decrease a police presence in our world today, a prime example, it's funny, I don't hear a lot of those individuals from the last couple of days. I haven't heard a lot of people saying anything about defunding and everything else. This is why we embrace our law enforcement for situations that occurred on Monday, my friend. Final thought from you.
Well, the one thing that you mentioned earlier regarding the targets and schools, you know, the Suffolk County Sheriff's Office performs threat assessments to school districts that request it. You know, it's a 3 or 4 day process. We look to see where we can enter the building without being challenged. We meet with the security staff. We meet with the school administrators. We provide a report, and we make recommendations on security or technology, but where there are breaches and where the targets can be, where certain parts of their building can be hardened. So any school district that's interested can reach out to the Suffolk County Sheriff's Office, and we'd be happy to perform that at no cost.
Sheriff, always a pleasure. Tough topic, but discussions are necessary, and especially when you and I interact on this. Vital information, no question about it. Great having you, and we'll see you again in April. How's that?
Thank you, Jay. You have a wonderful day, and happy Easter to your viewers.
Indeed. To you and yours as well, my friend. That's the great Sheriff of Suffolk County.